once again to Deuteronomy, and I want to read a verse here because we've been talking about choosing right or making the right choices. And I just want to read one verse. I'm not going to go but just a few minutes on this. And verse 19 says this. It says, "Today I have given you the choice." This is a New Living Translation. "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." You know, God tells us to make a choice and tells us what choice to make. Am I right? That's pretty good, isn't it? I'm thinking that's pretty good when God says choose life or death. Oh, that you would choose life. I want you to choose. Y'all looking for the chapter? It's 30. Deuteronomy. I guess I assume everybody knew that where that was. Anyway, I'm sorry. I apologize. Verse 19. But I like it. Said what it says in the New Living Translation was, "Oh, that you would choose life." I mean, God, it's almost like there's an excitement in his voice trying to tell you, choose life. Choose life. Anybody ever watch that show, Let's Make a Deal? Huh? Some of us have. I'm maybe old school, I guess, but I used to watch Let's Make a Deal. And you know, when I read this today, I thought about the last part of Let's Make a Deal. The three curtains? That's the Let's Make a Deal. I get the prices right mixed up with that. But Let's Make a Deal. And they have three curtains up there, and this person's done gave up whatever they had won, which usually they were the biggest winner, so they got the choice to give that away and for the choice of getting something bigger. And then they got three curtains up there, and they will go up there, and they said, now their grand prize is X amount of money, and it's behind one of those curtains. Now, what if that host would have stood there and said, it's behind number three? The grand prize is behind number three. It's behind number three. Oh, choose number three. Oh, choose number three. Telling them exactly what curtain it was behind, you still have people looking going, I pick one. Am I right? They'd have still sit there and why? They'd probably thought he was kidding with them. And they'd pick one, and most of them was a dud. Piece of junk back there. But the thing about it is they got to choose. They got to choose. See, God did the same thing to us. Choose. Now, I want you to pick life. Please pick life. Please pick life. And you know the same way with us today. Every choice that we make is going to affect our life in some way, form, or fashion. Every choice we make. So we have to, you know, there's times we have to pray about our, you know, there's sometimes the Holy Ghost just quickens you immediately. Man, you know exactly what to do. And sometimes you say, I'm just to pray about this a little bit and make sure I'm going to make the right choices and the right decisions. And you pray and God will always lead you down the right path. And I want to look back again one more time at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So we're not trying to make a deal today. I'm telling you, God's done made the deal. Is that right? He done made the deal. All we need to do is jump on the bandwagon with him. Amen? Oh, that you would choose life. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, our tomorrows what happens tomorrow is usually based on the choices that we make today. I like this story right here, and I read it the other day. I'm going to read it again for the sake of some of you that weren't here. Verse 38 says, "Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a village, certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to Martha, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, You know, it wasn't just the serving in the kitchen. It wasn't just getting the meal ready. The one thing about Jesus is, the thing about God is, He knows all about us. He knows all our frets, all our worries, all our concerns. There's nothing. So when we sometimes say, God, don't you even see where I'm at? Don't you know what I'm going through? Do you know all this? He absolutely knows it. I said, He absolutely knows it. And when she said, tell her to get in here and help me to serve tables. Now, you understand something. Where's Mary at? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. What's she doing? Hearing the word. Isn't that what it said? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of God. Now, Jesus said, you're distracted and you're worried and you're concerned about many things. And you know, the Lord showed me one time, He said, not only was she distracted, she was a distraction. See, if you're not careful, you might become a distraction, or others may become a distraction to you. See, there's a lot of things that distract us from the word. Am I right? Now, I believe she was intensely listening to Jesus sitting at his feet. And Mary's up there, Jesus, I need some help in the kitchen. She probably walked, I don't know how big their house was. It probably wasn't real big. She probably walked over and said, could you tell her to get up and get in this kitchen with me? And he just said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Honey, this is just a little bit of what you're concerned about. There's a lot deeper things than this that's going on in your life. Now, notice what I love this story. I love this story because I've been sitting in church before and my mind is on what I'm going to eat for dinner. Now, I can tell off on myself. I'm not talking about y'all. You're probably at Dairy Queen. Right? Well, you ain't at Dairy Queen no more. Shut that sucker down. You ain't there no more. Listen, there's all kinds of things when you're sitting at the feet of the Word or hearing the Word that tries to distract your mind or pull your focus off of the Word. Am I right? Anybody besides me? I mean, sometimes you just got to pull yourself back in. Right? Let me tell you, you know when you're drifting. Thank you. I didn't intend to preach like this, but I'm going to, I guess. You know when you're drifting. And I know when I'm drifting. I go to the conferences all the time, and sometimes I have to say, hold on, man, you got to get back in here. You're here for, you didn't drive all the way up here to sit here and think about what you're going to eat. You didn't drive all up here to find out what you're going to do after the service. You up here to get the Word of God, and that's the reason you're here. And how many know you have to talk to yourself back? It's kind of like church. You come here for one thing. That's to hear the Word of God, to worship God and praise God. Isn't that right? Anything else can wait. I'm not going to keep you over 3 hours. I mean, good Lord. But it's easy today. And here they are hearing the Word of God, and you can hear Martha, Jesus, I need some help in the kitchen. He said, you're worried and troubled about many things, Martha. Now listen, he just doesn't give her an invitation. He's just going to give her an invitation. But one thing is needed. Everybody shout, one thing needed. One thing is needed. The most important thing in our life that is needed for us to succeed and be victorious in our Christian life is to hear the Word of God. He said, there's one thing that's needed, and listen to what it says, and Mary has chosen that good part. Basically, he is probably telling her, Martha, don't worry about the kitchen. We ain't going to starve to death. Why don't you come and take your place right beside Mary? And why don't you hear the word that I'm sharing so it can bring and deliver you from all those distractions and all those worries and all those concerns? And here's what I like about the last part of that verse. It says this, Mary has chosen that she made a choice to hear the word. See, when you go, even when you sit down to read your Bible, you need to make a choice. I'm going to hear what I'm reading. Amen. You ever read the Bible and you sit there and said, I read, and then you put it down and said, now what did I read? And we've all been guilty of that. And you think, man, I'll never forget this. And then next thing you know, so now what was that I said I'd never forget? But I like this. It says she chose that good part which will not be taken away from her. See, the Word of God becomes permanent in your life. He said, it won't be taken away. Now, listen to me. As I was reading that one day, Mary was distracted. What did he say to Martha? He said, you're worried and troubled about many things. There's a lot of distractions in your life. But listen to me. This is so good. He said, listen, Mary chose that part that will not be taken away from her. Listen, in other words, your worry's not going to take it away from you. Your frustration's not going to take it away from you. All the cares of this world is not going to take that away from you. But, listen to this, but what I'm telling you and I'm preaching to you will take away all those other things in your life. I'm telling the word is so important. It's so important. We have to make that choice to hear the word. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, you can't. We can't. We actually have lost all excuses to not have time for the word. Really, technology has taken away all excuses. Am I right? I mean, you got CD players, you got iPhones, you can put preaching on anything, preaching praise and worship, anything. I mean, everywhere you go, you can carry those things. You can put an earphone in your deal. You can walk down the road and put it and listen to preaching stuff like that. You got the trucks, cars, everything, CD players, everything in the world. Why? There's no excuse why we can't hear. Well, I just don't have time. Do you ever drive to work? I listen to preaching in my truck more than anything else. Podcasts, preaching, hearing the word. Why? Because I want to sit at the feet. I want to sit at the feet. Why? Because that will not be taken away from me. That will not be taken away from me. Well, that will take away all my frustrations and all the worries and all the concerns, because I'll find out that God's for me and he's not against me. That, bless God, he's on my side and he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. He'll supply my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply everything that we have need of. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And when you start embedding that in you and it becomes a part of you, nothing can take that away from you. Amen. Nothing can take that away from you. Am I right? So she made that choice. To make that decision, glory to God. I thought that was pretty good.
Very good.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8, because we're talking about making right choices. And I'm going to read this and... The New Living Translation. So I know most of you don't carry a New Living Translation, so that's why we have it on the wall. Because I just like the way it says some of this stuff. It says in verse 1, remember we're talking about choosing right, making right choices. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So now there's no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. Did you know God's not a condemner? Sometimes we think God condemns, he's going to beat you on the head and stuff like this. You know, I've noticed we all know John 3:16, correct? If I ask anybody in here to quote it, you could probably just quote it just right out of your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's usually the verse we stop at, but we don't read verse 17 where it said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. He didn't send Jesus to condemn. He said, there's no condemnation. See, I found this out about condemnation. Condemnation tries to push you away from God. To make you feel like you're unworthy, that you messed up so bad that God would never have you back. And that's not true. I said, that's not true. God says he's always standing at the door. Huh? And then there was a story in John chapter 8 about the woman caught in adultery and brought to Jesus. And they were going to stone her to death. And by law, they had a right to do that. They could have stoned her to death right there. They didn't have to ask permission for it. All they had to do is drag her out of the city, stone her to death, and pile the stones on her to go bury. I mean, nobody got in trouble for it. But Jesus told them, and in fact, they came to Jesus. They really didn't care about condemning the woman and stoning the woman to death. They were trying to get Jesus to kill him. They were trying to catch him in his words. And so when they said, what do you say about this? This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say? The law of Moses said they should be stoned to death. Now, what do you say, Jesus? They just wanted to condemn him. Well, what did he say? He scribbled in the dirt a little bit, and then he said, I tell you, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Okay? Listen, Jesus didn't tell him not to stone her. Did he? They had a right by the law of Moses to do it. He didn't tell them not to, or he'd have been saying, no, we're not going to obey the law of Moses. No, he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Thank God those people had a conscience. Thank God those people looked at themselves. What did Jesus say? I want you to look at yourself. Amen. Before you pass judgment on her, you look at you. Huh? And so what happened was, we all know the story, because after they all dropped their stones and walked away, from the youngest to the oldest, every single one walked away. Here's what happened, or from the oldest to the youngest to the oldest, anyway, they all left. What did Jesus tell her? Woman, where is your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? She said, none, my Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. In other words, don't be caught doing it again. I might not be there next time. Huh? But he didn't condemn her. He forgave her. Isn't that what God does? He forgives and not, he don't condemn, he forgives. Man, that ought to make us love him for eternity, right? So now there's therefore now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. The whole purpose when I read this, I wasn't even planning on going to this scripture at all. When the Lord started dealing with me, he said, you got to understand, you have to make a decision every day whether you're going to be led by the Spirit or led by the flesh. Every day you got to decide, am I going to choose what the flesh wants to do, or am I going to choose what the Spirit wants to do? Am I right? We all get faced with that every single day. And so he says, listen, you're not to be dominated by your old sinful nature, which basically Jesus destroyed. And when we got born again, we have a new nature about us. It says, but letting the Spirit control our minds leads to life and peace. Listen, isn't it amazing God wants to control our minds? The Spirit of God would like to control our minds? Huh? Did you know we have to let him? So how do we do that? You may have to cast down imaginations hundreds of times. Every day. Let me just ask a question. Anybody have to cast down any imaginations? Anybody lately? Oh, all the time. I'm amazed at how the devil tries to slide some stupid dreams in on you. Anybody? I got up the other day, just stupid dreams. I got up the other day and I said, God, I'm tired of these stupid dreams. Now, they weren't from understanding. It wasn't godly dreams, or I wouldn't have said they were stupid dreams. I'd know the difference. And I said, I'm tired of these crazy dreams. I mean, just off the wall, dumb, stupid stuff. And I'm thinking, where the heck did that come from? I didn't even eat pizza last night. Most people always say, them dreams, you ate pizza last night, them dreams. No, you can eat a Bluebell ice cream, still have them crazy dreams. Huh? And so I just started saying, God, I'm tired of these dreams. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus over my dreams and over my mind. I'm not going to put up with this no more. And I think last night was the first time I didn't have any dreams. I was blank. Your pastor had a blank night. Oh, I didn't sound right, did it? A good night, I might as well say that. I didn't have to get up and say, where'd that stupid dream come from? Praise the Lord. I'd rather have no dreams than bad ones. Yeah. Wouldn't you? But I tell you what, I have found this out. If you're not careful, that the Spirit of God's trying to control your mind. At the same time, the flesh is trying to control your mind. And you're going to have to decide which thought you want. You have to choose the thoughts that you want to think on. Am I right?
Amen.
Y'all know I'm talking truth. Amen. You have to choose. And here's what happens if you'll start meditating on the right one. People says, well, I'm gonna meditate this other thought out. No, you got to talk some thoughts out. But I'm telling you what, if you start just meditating on the Word of God, and you start, when the devil comes in and tells you stupid stuff, and you take the Word of God and says, I cast that down, and I think about these thoughts instead. Why? What you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to take control, not of just your heart or your spirit, but your mind also. He don't just, listen, you got to, your mind and spirit are hooked up. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and they're connected together. And they work together. So I'm telling you, if the devil can run roughshod over your thoughts, yeah, if he can control your thoughts, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We usually go the way we think. That's the course we take, is the way we think. And if we think about that, I mean, I thought that this has nothing to do with spirituality, what I'm supposed to tell you, because I'm going to tell off on me and my wife both. I got to tell it again, somebody didn't hear it. And, this has nothing to do with spiritual, but at 10:30 the other night, actually it was about 10:38, I looked at my watch when she said this. She had woke up, she had been sleeping in the chair, I don't know what was on. Was it a ball game? I've been watching all the bowl game stuff. And so, she woke up. She said, I think I want some ice cream. I said, baby, it's 10:30 at night. I said, but we do have some Bluebell ice cream out in the back freezer. She said, I'm going to go get it. I'm thinking 10:30 at night, Bluebell ice cream with chocolate syrup. And you know what, Jason? I couldn't let her eat alone. Couldn't let her eat alone. So we both made us a nice heaping bowl of ice cream with chocolate syrup on it. Shoot. We could have said, no, in Jesus' name, we're not going to have that. But it didn't hurt us one way or the other. But we made that choice to do it.
And it was good.
It was good, baby. It was good. We still got some more out there, too. We may have another midnight snack. See, we make choices. We think, all of a sudden she thought, Bluebell ice cream, guess what? We pursued that thought. And I jumped in with her. We pursuing it together, baby. But just think, that's a real innocent thought, and it didn't happen. But that's the same way it works in other areas. Them thoughts come in, next time we're starting to pursue those thoughts. And we start following those thoughts, and we start talking about them stuff. When what we need to do, here's what the Holy Ghost will do when the thoughts are ungodly and stuff. He will convict you. He will rise up on the inside and say, that's not right. Now, listen, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to choose life, or are you going to choose death? Oh, that you would choose life. Amen? Did you know, Elijah, we can tell what's right and not by the inward witness. And so he said, he wants to be putting the spirit control of our minds leads to life and peace, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. And listen, it says those who are under the control of their sinful nature. It did not say they had that nature. They're still under the control of that old way. And it goes on, let me see. Where did I quit? I'm on verse 9 now. But you're not controlled. Listen, I love the way Paul speaks. He said, but you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. How many's got the Spirit of God living in you? Well, praise God, we're controlled by the Spirit of God. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives with... And Christ lives, and I pushed a button. I got stuff all over my screen. Go off. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Hallelujah. For if you live by the dictates, but if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now listen, that's talking about a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the Bible says we will deal with that for as long as we're on planet Earth. Did y'all know that? Man, when am I going to quit having them thoughts? You won't till you get to heaven. When am I going to quit having these desires to do more of this stuff like this? And when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to deal with those no more. But while you're here, if you're not going to follow the old nature, you're going to have to be led and follow the new nature, which is the divine nature that God gave us according to 2 Peter. That we're partakers of the divine nature of God. The divine nature. Amen? So we don't need to make the wrong choices when we can make the right choices. Right? Oh, that you would choose life. We have choices every day. We have choices every single day. And a lot of them, they're not going to be a matter of life or death. But some of them might be. And we need to know what they are. And we need to know what to make, how to make the right choice. Yes. Amen? Amen. You had to pick your clothes out today and it ain't bothered none of us yet. Huh? But the thing about it is, you never know when something arises where you say, I've got to be led by the Spirit of God in this. I've got to be led by the Spirit of God in this. God, what's the choice? Now, it'd be great to have somebody stand. I was just going to say this, but we actually do. We have somebody standing up on the inside of us saying, choose life. Choose curtain number three. Choose curtain number three. There's where the blessing's at. What path do I go? What decision do I make? What job do I go to? What all the things that we look at, we got to say, well, you know, I want to do the right choice and I want to make the right choices. I'm not saying I'm always making the right choice. And I'm not going to say I'm always going to make the right choices the rest of my life. But I'm going to do my best to make the right choice. And so are you. And so are you. Because it's very important. Amen. That we listen to the voice of God, choose what God has for us and walk in the power and the Spirit of God. Listen, we get that choice. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go real quick. Let's go. It's 5 minutes till 12. If I let y'all out before 12, you get spoiled, and I can't do that. I can't. I just can't do it. Can't bring myself to let you out before 12 o'clock. I was just in clothes, and I can't. I looked at the clock. I'm just kidding. I need to read this. I need to read this. We're going to start with we're going to go to 2 Peter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says this, by his divine power, verse 3, 2 Peter, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his miraculous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You know, the human desires certain things, but the Bible says if we will lean towards the nature of God, we'll escape the corruption that comes by many human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with the love for everyone. You know, he said supplement. Anybody ever take vitamins? They call it supplements to help your body. And he uses that same word to do for the moral excellence. That's excellence or moral. That's excellence because we live in a country that's morally decaying. And so he said, I want the body to have moral excellence. And so he said, I want you to supplement that into your life and use those and the different ones, provision, moral excellence with knowledge and knowledge, self-control. Listen, we need self-control. Amen. That's part of one of the fruit of the Spirit, actually, self-control. Self-control with patient endurance and patient endurance with godliness and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with everyone. Affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Isn't that something? And goes on to say, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as I read that this morning, I was reading it in the New Living Translation, and I was thinking, supplement these things into your life. You have to work these into your life, and so you can work them out of your life. Self-control, moral excellence, stuff like this. And here's what I was, when I thought about that, you know, at the first of the year, sometimes I try to go on a fast and do such as that. And when I go on the fast, I try to do just a liquid diet for a few days and such as that. And so this year I did the same thing. And I bought me a juicer a few years ago to do a fasting like that, and bought me a juicer. And so I brought this juicer book. Anybody know all these juicing books and stuff like this? So I got this book and I got these juices and I got it. And I went and bought to the store, and I bought celery, carrots, kale, spinach, green apples, lemons. I bought all this stuff that this book told me to buy. And I went home, I got my juicer out, and I stuck that thing in there. I put it on there, and I stuck celery in there, and I stuck cucumbers in there. I stuck carrots in there. I put a green apple in there. I put kale in there. I put all that stuff in there, and I got me a green juice. Fasting. And I, you know, the pictures look pretty. So I had me about an 8-ounce cup right there out of all that juice. And I was supposed to have me a little supplement. I took a sip of that. And my body said, what are you doing? You are crazy. This is the nastiest stuff you ever put in my mouth. What are you doing? I walked in the living room with that cup. I looked at Linda and went, I can do it. And I just guzzled it and drank it. I just drank the whole thing down. You know, I hadn't juiced no more since that particular day in this fast. Now listen. No. I'd never get up at 10:30 and do juice. Not that juice. But here's the deal. It's good for me. It's good for me. Did you know my body did not say when I put that ice cream in my mouth, ooh, you nasty thing. What in the world are you putting in my mouth? It was going, ooh, you a good man. You're a good man. You done gave me some ice cream tonight. You're a good man. But when I put that in my mouth, everything in me said, you're crazy. Don't drink that. Don't ever put that in me again. But it was good for me. See, there's a lot of things that's good for us that our body literally tries to reject. Because we let our flesh dictate to us. We do what the flesh wants, so we don't give ourselves the good stuff. It's just like the Word of God. When you say, I'm going to read the Word of God, and everything in the world comes up. Why? The Spirit's trying to say, I need some Word. I need some food. It's going to help you, but your flesh says, I'm too tired, I'm too sleepy, I got things to do, stuff like this. Listen, there's always going to be a battle between our flesh and our spirit. You know who's going to win the battle? The ones that's strongest. The one that's strongest. If you're stronger in your spirit, you're going to win over the flesh. If you're weaker in your spirit, your flesh is going to win over your spirit. Praise God, we get to start a brand new year out, getting all the choices, making the right choices. I'm not saying you're going to make all the right choices, because we won't. But praise God, we're to endeavor to do what's best for our spirit, soul, and our bodies. Amen. I hope that was all right on this wonderful Sunday morning. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you so much for the Word. We thank you that that God, you've given us wisdom and knowledge, and we're adding supplements in our life and self-control and knowledge and moral excellence and the things that you said we should supplement into us. So God, I pray for every person here today. God, as we begin to grow in the Spirit, as we begin to listen to the Spirit of God and obey you, God, that things start changing our lives. We start seeing health. We start seeing wealth and prosperity. We start seeing family members and all getting their hearts right with God. Father, oh, what a great year we're expecting. Oh, for us physically and mentally and financially. And God, also for our families and for our church and for our nation. What a good God you are. We appreciate you so much. Just lift your hands to heaven. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We glorify your name. It's a new season. It's a new day, Lord. It's a new season and a new day. And God, we're just going to rejoice in this time and this hour in which we live. Help us. Help us, God. Help us to make right choices and right decisions every day. God, we won't have to wonder which one. We hear the voice of God saying, choose curtain number three. Choose life. Choose life. We choose life. We choose life today in Jesus' name.